Guys, I am honored to have my buddy, Mike, who I actually went to high school with. When he heard my first episode, he's like, oh my gosh, I have to tell you the story about my mom and what happened.
If you're lucky enough to have your mom die, come on in.
Yeah.
Mom, say hi to the people.
Hi. Welcome to Find It Funny and Lisa Alvarado.
That was a good one. That was a good one. Tell them why they should listen to the podcast.
You have to love it. She is a good girl, good, very funny, very ugly too.
She called me ugly 4 times now. This is take number 5.
Okay.
No, I like it. Hola, amigos. Welcome to Find the Funny with Lisa Alvarado. That's me. I'm Lisa Alvarado. Last time I checked. And I have a great guest today. My buddy, Mike. We both grew up in Chicago, Illinois, and he's going to share his story today about his mom and the situation that he went through. And this is one of the best examples of finding the funny in a hard situation. Please, everybody, say hello to Mike.
Hi. Everybody.
Yeah, everybody. All 4 of you. Say hi, Mike.
There'll be more than 4 after this, trust.
Yeah, there
she
will
keeps
be.
Going, there's going to be a ton.
There's going to be 6.
They're going to look back at this and they're going to go.
We're aiming for 8.
Yes. I love being here, by the way. Thank you for having me on. This is this is a treat. I'm visiting the first time I've ever been here. Saw the Pacific Ocean yesterday and now I get to see Lisa again. We had a blast at the reunion. She's an amazingly funny and just an all-around fun person to hang around with. So I'm glad you were kind enough to take time out of your busy schedule to sit with me and listen to my nonsense, you know?
Here's the thing. When we did our first episode, you never know who it's going to reach or people say that they're going to tune in, but he actually listened. And not only that, it affected him to the point where he wanted to share this story about his mom and how he dealt with it and how he found the funny. And to me, it was so inspiring that I'm like, I have to have you on the show. He just so happened to be in California, still lives in Illinois. No, wait.
I live in Texas.
You live in Texas?
I live in Texas.
Okay. You got out. Good for you.
You have to get out. It's too cold. But nobody should.
We did grow up, like we went to high school in Carpentersville, Illinois. If anybody knows where that is a teeny town. And now it's... I should move back because it's all Latinos.
It pretty much is, yeah.
It's
every neighborhood I grew up in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gentrified the other way. Sorry.
Right.
But
I don't mind it.
I have fun.
I don't have to go straight to Mexico. I can go there for my drugs. All right. So we tape every other week, by the way, on Tuesdays. I think I should have told you this before. We're putting out new episodes every other Tuesday, so make sure you tune in for that, and maybe you will be my next guest.
If you're lucky enough to have your mom die, come on in.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to be that lucky someday. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like it's going to happen to all of us, every single person. Okay, so let's jump right in with Mike. Tell me about when you found out that your mom had cancer. What year was that?
That was last year this time. Well, no, I'm sorry. It was Christmas of 2021. Wow. Christmas Day.
Okay.
We found out that she had a tumor in her stomach.
Wow.
She seemed at the time young, 73.
Right.
So you wonder, you know, how can you have cancer at 73? Well, sort of the funny kicked in.
And did it really?
It did. And honestly, I thought about calling you.
Wow.
After she had passed away, because I was finding the funny in a lot of this stuff. And I'm like, I know one person that might get what I'm talking about.
You're right about that. When you go through tragedy, people feel like it's rude to joke about and in some cases, I feel like depending on who you're doing that with, it is. But I know your sensibility and you and I have this dark sense of humor where when something bad happens, we're the first ones to crack up about it.
Yes.
So what was that first moment when... Tell me about that situation when you went in and the doctor was questioning your mom in front of you and you found out all this stuff that you didn't know.
Yeah. Well, you sit down and he starts asking general questions. They ask whenever you go to a hospital for any kind of workup, do you drink? Do you smoke? Well, they ask, do you drink? And she goes, I don't know, maybe 1 or 2. And I said, don't lie, Ma. She goes, 3 or 4 a day. So then he says, do you smoke? And she says, yes, 2 or 3 a day. When did you start? And she goes, I don't know, 9 or 10.
9 or 10 years
and
old.
And my jaw dropped.
9 or 10 years old. I mean, can you imagine being 9 or 10 with like taking a drink? I mean, how do you get smokes? Are you sitting on Santa's lap at the mall going, hey, Santa, I've been a good girl. Can I get some, what is it, Camel? Can I get a pack of Camel?
Like like a 6-butt tray and all your friends came over to help smoke with you? I mean,
are you bumming these on the playground? I mean, are you going, hey, I'll do your spelling assignment if you give me 2 drags off of but back then, people did start, my parents started smoking in their teens. My dad started drinking about at the age of 11, I think.
Oh, yeah.
9, 10, 11, my dad started drinking. You know, we're at a day and age right now where people go, oh, I don't know if I should give my kid a cell phone at 9 or 10 or 11. And our parents are like, what?
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. Like, so we find these things out at the end of our parents' lives. This kind of stuff just, it's like shocking to find out what they did when they were that young.
After she did her questionnaire, she goes to the, you know, x-ray room for like an hour. She comes back in. 30 minutes later, the doctor comes in. He cannot make eye contact with us. He knew how bad it was. Looking back on it, he knew. And he starts telling her what he found. And he found tumors in her breast, her lungs, her stomach, her kidneys, and they'd moved around to the back. That's how much pain she was in. So he starts, you know, explaining this to her, and our jaws are dropped. And he goes, ma'am, I can tell you're in shock. I'm going to give you some more. And he looks at me and he says, I can tell you're kind of in shock. And I go, and I told him this. I go, I'm not in shock at the diagnosis. I'm in shock that she's in shock that she has cancer. She's been smoking since she was 9. I go, ma, what did you think you had? Food poisoning?
Yeah, exactly.
After I found out at 9 you're smoking cigarettes.
Right. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. It's crazy how we're like, oh, that's never going to catch up with me.
No, it caught up with her. And you know what I found kind of morbid, I don't know, is the last like month of her life, intense pain. You spent your whole life chasing that pain away with cigarettes and alcohol.
But you said that the doctors wanted to have her smoke pot, right? To help her with the pain.
Well, no, I suggested it. The hospice guy said, that's a great idea. We can get you some because it's legal up there. And she refused.
Well, and she refused because...
She didn't want to get hooked on that.
Right. She didn't want to get hooked on weed. Smoking like 12 cigarettes a day. She's like, nah, let's, okay. Cigarettes is one thing, but weed, that's for crazy people. Yeah. Like that, I'm not going to get hooked. All right.
I have a line I won't cross. Sure thing, Ma.
Yeah. Let's go straight to coke. Forget the weed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing is, depending on how you were brought up and what you believe is what's bad and what's not bad. Because back then, smoking cigarettes was like everybody did it. Both of my parents did it. All the time in the house. They didn't
think
twice about being in the car with the windows rolled up. There's like you look like you're in a disco with all the fog. It's like, like we just breathed it in. It didn't even affect it. And now, when people do that, it's a shock, you know?
You see somebody driving with the windows up and a cigarette lit?
Yeah.
And you're like, that's a horrible person. How
that
dare
is a
you?
Horrible person. Yeah.
Meanwhile, they probably have 2 babies in the back seat.
Yeah, exactly. And one on the way.
That was childhood.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm a teensy bit concerned about them smoking around the children. You know, their lungs are so teensy.
What was the weird things about her being in hospice that you were like, what?
Yeah, hospice comes and they say, your mom refuses to use the diaper. We're going to have to teach you how to use a catheter. And my younger brother, he's 4 years younger than me, he gets up and leaves the room and just walks out.
Wait, so the doctor was saying that Your mom has to learn how to use...
My mom refused to use a diaper.
See, my mom loves diapers.
Oh, you've got a great mom.
I love a diaper.
I would use a diaper.
I mean, I have needed diapers. If you go on a pub crawl, a diaper is the best thing.
You go to like an ACL fest or something. Long lines at the bath. No.
Exactly. I know. If you're one of those nerds that has to wait around for a Star Wars ticket, yeah, you're going to need a diaper, buddy.
Yeah. Now, if a cold front comes through, it's not going to be fun. But yeah, my brother gets up and walks out. He just flat the thought of it. So I looked at her. I go, hey, first one out, last one in. Let's do this.
So you did it? No. You didn't.
We never...
He's all acting tough, and I'm like,
it's the thought that counts.
It's the thought that counts, right, exactly.
Hospice comes in. They get you the bed you need if you need it. They get the oxygen and all that. And then they show you how to give her the medications, the morphine.
Right.
They basically are there to make sure that the patient is not in pain.
Right.
By the way, she wouldn't take the morphine.
Why?
She didn't want to get hooked.
It's interesting that she's getting closer to death. Mm-hmm. And she's going, I don't want any pot. I don't want any morphine because I don't want to become addicted. And I'm not wearing a damn diaper. And I get that.
Oh, she wore a diaper. We would put the diaper on. Then she wouldn't use it. She'd go, Michael, I got to go. Help me. I got to go. So you'd go in there and help the hospice lady. And they were great. Darnese, Boshana, all of them were great. You would help them pick her up. And mom, she wasn't big, but she weighed about 160 pounds. It's 160 pounds of just Jell-O. And you'd have to take her out of the diaper, put her on the portable toilet, then put her back in the diaper and put her back. I'm like, we could have skipped that move.
I've had to put my dad in a diaper. I took him to Vegas with me because my little brother lives in Vegas. And I had to put my dad in a diaper. He liked it. He was like... This is the bomb. You mean I can be at a slot machine all day long and not really have to get up. But guess who has to deal with the diaper? Yeah. And I used to have to deal with diapers because I have a kid. I don't want to do that again. I'm not wiping anybody unless I get a lot of inheritance. Okay? So, like, I'm not going to. But my dad was okay. I think had it been 10 years ago, he would have gotten so mad at the thought of me putting him in a diaper or buying him one. But now he's like, whip it up. I want one with unicorns on it. You know, it's like they get to this point where they shift sometimes.
I think she was I'm not going to say in denial. When they offered her treatment, they said 6 months without, 8 to 10 with. She was a no BS kind of woman.
Right.
She didn't play games, and she looked at me and she said, what do I do, Michael? I said, Ma, you want to fight this? I'm here. We'll fight it together. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. And she goes, you know, I've seen people do this and I'm not going to put myself through it. I'm going to hospice. But it, right. Like I said, it went 3 weeks and 2 days after the diagnosis, she was gone. And I think she may have thought she had more time.
Right.
So she refused all the nonsense that they were giving her.
Right. What was going through your head when she made the decision to go into hospice? Like, what was your thought process?
Relief.
Relief?
Honestly, I was relieved.
Oh.
When you see somebody you love in that much pain.
Right. I actually was in the room right before one of my uncles passed. My mom stayed in the room. And the crazy thing is, people that are about to pass, if you've been in the room with them, the last day or two, usually the last day especially, they get this burst of energy. It's almost like God says, here's some Red Bull so that you can talk to your family, so you can be kind of alert. But then, like you said, sometimes they can go into hallucinations.
Oh, she did. She had that burst of energy on a Wednesday night.
Right.
And then Thursday morning just crashed. And it was probably a day or two after that, as the decline starts, she's seeing things on the wall, she's hallucinating, but she knew she was hallucinating because when you'd call her on it, her ex-husband who passed away a year before had started the hallucination process. And she goes, ah, geez, it's coming, isn't it? I'm hallucinating. This is the end. She knew.
So she's like, ah, damn it. Like the lights are flickering.
Yeah.
Shit. There's Elvis. And what the hell is going on?
Yeah, she had a concert.
Oh, there we go. There's Phyllis Diller. You know, like all of a sudden,
yeah,
they start seeing things and people that, and they start talking to them. But you're in the room and you're trying to make sense. But at the same time, you don't really want to break them out of whatever they're experiencing because it could be kind of a beautiful part of the process.
It was the last day and she's talking to these dead relatives and all these other people. And I'm like, can you get Sam Kinison on the line maybe? I mean, that'd be great if you're seeing all these dead people now.
Yeah, like we're thinking, I got a request.
Yeah, mom, is there any Robin Williams? I'd love to talk to him. Let's get him in the room. All day she hallucinates. 7 o'clock Tuesday night, in walks her sister, Lori. I go, Ma, Lori's here. Without missing a beat, she looks over and she goes, about time. And then right back to hallucinating. Like snapped out of it for a second.
Right, that's what I'm saying is that they're like fully with you and then fully not with you. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're in the in-between of different worlds, you know, like some people believe in heaven. I believe in heaven. Some people don't. So they're in between the two things. Like you saw a ghost, right?
Yeah.
Where he comes back at the end and she's like, woo.
Ditto.
Yeah. Did you really, Demi? Did you have to ditto him? Like you can just give him a kiss or go in for one less. Doing the clay thing together. I mean, I didn't like
exactly. Yeah,
I was like, yeah. Like let's
ditto. That's kind of a
yeah. Word I use. Know. I know. Right. Well, those last moments, it's almost like you get this miracle opportunity to share that with them, and see what they're gonna see, which makes me feel like that's even more proof that there is an afterlife. Because if they're talking to other spirits, other people that they know. That passed away. How else would you do that if they don't have a spirit, if they don't have a soul that left their bodies?
When she started the hallucinations, they were slow, and then it was full on conversations with people that had passed. And when I say conversations, she's talking to these people as if they're standing there and they're replying to her. She would say, yes. No, Michael, your Aunt Clara is right there. I just talked to her. I go, Ma, I don't see Aunt Clara. No, she's right there, Michael. And Grandma Mary was here earlier, and she's going to come back.
Did you have a conversation with your mom where you asked her, is there anything you want to tell me? Is there anything you want to share with
me? Oh, I got that down, Pat. That was the closer. Well, you know, as she's dying, the priest is there. And I look at her, and I go, Ma, I stop the priest. I go, Father, give me a second. I said, Ma, is there anything you need to confess before the priest and God and myself and all these family members about what you may have done to me as a child? And she snaps out of it and she goes, no, Michael, wait a minute. That one thing. Oh, my God. Oh, it was terrible. Your father didn't talk to me for a week. Like, what, Ma? Well, and you cried. Oh, you cried so hard after it happened. Like, Ma, what? Well, I'm going to tell you. At your circumcision, I had him take 3 inches off your penis. I said, watch you. I was too big, Michael. I said, he's going to hurt somebody with that thing. I looked at the priest. I said, Father, let's go. Yeah, my mom.
So circumcise me again. Exactly. That's what I mean is like bringing humor into even your mom on her dying days. The priest is there. She's doing a dick joke.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, at your circumcision, I had him take 3 inches off your penis.
Yeah. That's my point is humor in the hard stuff. You know, like that's all we have left. That's all we can actually control. So after your mom passes, obviously it's very painful. What were one of the first moments that you found humor in again?
After she passed, I go on her Facebook page and I write this long, heartfelt note about how mom had passed. All her friends would know. A couple days go by and I'm sitting there and I'm bored. And I grab her phone and I go to her Facebook page. And I wonder what the comments are in the post I made. And then I start scrolling her friends and I'm like, mom would like that. Like, oh, mom would love that. Heart. Mom would like that. Like. And I'm just blowing up her Facebook page as her. Nobody knows it's me. A couple days after that, I pick it up again and somebody's like, Facebook has really upset me and I'm done. So I comment as mom. I'm definitely done and posted.
So you're being your mom after. That's what I want to do afterwards on social media. You know what I'm going to do when I get to heaven? I'm going to post pictures of my meals up there because they're going to be bomb. You know what I mean? I would love to come back.
Oh, yeah.
And in the spirit and like haunt people that you didn't like on Facebook. Could you imagine going to your ex's Facebook page and being like, huh, that girl's ugly. I bet she doesn't kiss as good as I do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want more people to die so I can get their phones and play with them.
On Facebook after.
You can just buy a phone. That's pretty morbid. So you started posting as your mom on Facebook comments.
As my mom on Facebook. Yeah,
we actually have a picture. This is an actual picture of the comments. I'm so happy that you were willing to share your story with me. And I'm sure it was just so hard, but you dealing with it in a humorous way with your family is just something we all need to learn how to do better. So find the funny and send me your stories, you guys. Findthefunnypodcast.com. That's where you can record your story. If you're not to the point where you actually can laugh about your situation and I have your permission, I will actually take your story and we'll find the funny for you. Me and another comedian will sit here, go through your bullet points or listen to your story, and we'll find some fun stuff within it just to help you heal and see a different perspective. So tune in every 2 weeks, Tuesdays. It's a new episode, you guys. I love you. Thanks for spending your time with us. Bye, Mike. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm sorry about the whole diaper thing, but I do have some.
Like I said,
you know what? You can do my catheter.
Okay.
When I'm 80, I'll let him do my catheter.
I promise you won't get excited.
I might. Let's get a really big catheter, a black one. And what? That got weird. I don't know why. Why do I have to make it weird? All right. Love you guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks on a Tuesday. Bye. Peace out. Just say something nice.
I hope everybody listen to my daughter and see it and laughing with her because she is very funny.
Awesome.
That was great. That was perfect.